2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Well, Happy New Year. However, I'm not finished with Christmas yet. So today, I want to look at a study that we've done in the past, at least one time that I remember, and that's the adoration of the wise men. As most of you know, much of that which is taught around the birth of Christ is just flat wrong. Why is that true? Well, it's mostly because people do not know their scripture. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to plow through it all, but scripture has the answers, not what you read in the newspaper or see on Christmas cards. Tradition over time allows errors to creep into the truth. Unintentionally, I think, for the most part, but nevertheless, devastatingly to one, because the truth is compromised. Let me give you an example of that. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we travel afar. What's wrong with that? Typical Christmas song. Well, first, the scripture does not say they were kings. If you read, I don't care where you read, you find that they were wise men and that there were not three. There could have been three, but there were men, so there was two at least, or more. Tradition has assumed then from that there were three gifts because they brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so this kind of thing that creeps into the story of Christmas makes it to where the truth is not there. For example, because of the things we're going to be looking at here today, we'll find out that there should never be wise men and camels in any nativity scene. They simply were not there. So it takes some groundwork. Have to plow a little bit through Scripture. Today we're going to be looking at a little more Scripture than we typically do because we're going to traverse a lot of territory to find the truth with regard to these wise men. And it's kind of a circuitous route in which these wise men end up eventually with Christ, the newborn babe, Jesus, but it's not at the manger. So, first turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. And here in this 19th chapter, we're going to find that the heavens and their inaudible words, the heavens and their inaudible words correspond with the written word. However, there wasn't any written word for 2,500 years between Adam and Moses. But the heavens declared what's written in God's book. So, let's start with verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle or a house for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the ends of the heavens, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. God's wonderful plan has been written in the stars. Most don't recognize that. It's called the zodiac. Preserved there and untouched by man. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Notice these statements in the next few verses. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. We find in these words the same thing that we ultimately find in Scripture. Now you got to recall, you got to remember that Scripture was not all complete and written when a lot of these people in the Scriptures were alive. The prophets, for example, didn't know one another. You've heard me say they didn't have any cell phones, no emails. You know, they couldn't converse back and forth. But they're all writing about the same thing 600 and 700 years prior, not knowing one another, all about the same subject. And that word is in the stars and in the heavens as well. Comparing words written in Scripture to written in the heavens. And it's evidenced by many scriptures. We find, turn in your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 1. Chapter 1. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Signs in the Hebrew means, the Hebrew word is oath, means things to come. So you see in those, in that zodiac, there's evidence of things that have not been seen or heard but are to come. The word lights is luminaries, to understand. Seasons in that verse is the Hebrew word moed, and it means appointed times. The zodiac is telling us appointed times, things that will happen as we read the prophets in Scripture. Not just seasons, but cycles of the equinox. That's what we're looking at in the heaven and the stars. We see other evidence of it in the book of Psalms in chapter 147 of Psalms. Psalms 147. Psalms 147, verses 4 and 5. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their name. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. What is remarkable is that in all the history of man, the zodiac is uniform. Uniform across all cultures and all religions. It's there. That was kept by Seth and Enoch, and we won't go back and read about Seth and Enoch, but Seth and Enoch were the first astronomers. Man, through Seth and Enoch, had the names of stars given to them. And as a result of that, that's passed along, and this is some phenomena here. Man had the names of stars he could not see until ocean travel progressed to the point that they could sail around the Arctic Circle. Names of stars given. Man knew the names, they couldn't see the stars. But eventually, as we progressed and could sail the Arctic and around the Cape of Horn, we begin to see stars that we know the names of in the heavens. They're still preserved today. Some 100 of these names are used even by astronomers today. Additional information, turn to Romans chapter 1. I told you I was going to do this. Romans chapter 1. But sometimes you can't help it. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see what the Scripture says. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. That's the star, that's the heavens. From heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, in the heavens. It's manifest. It's told. For God hath showed it unto them. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It's been there from the creation of Genesis 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, and all of that stars that are in there holds the information that we have in the Bible that is in your hands. Turn over to chapter 10 of Romans. Chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, they have not heard. Yes, verily, their sound went out unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Some have not heard about this Christ, but they're there in this magnificent creation that somehow teaches man, regardless, that there is a creator. And this takes us back then to Psalms 19, a direct quote that we had there. So the question that I want to ask, why were the wise men wise? What gave them that? Well, turn to Esther chapter 1. If you got a companion Bible, it's on page 656. Esther, chapter 1, 656, is that what I told you? Yeah, 656, verse 13. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner towards all the law, the new law, and judgment. They knew the times. What did I say about the times? It's a Hebrew word, oath. It means things to come. The wise men had that information. Why? Don't forget, no scripture written. 2,500 years between Adam and Moses, nothing written. But the wise men knew. How did they know? They knew from the stars and the equinox and what God had showed to Seth and to Enoch. The same thing there, seasons. The Hebrew word moed means appointed time. The information passed to them through Seth, Enoch, Job, Melchizedek, Moses. Then after the writings, they begin to understand and comprehend, and the prophets, what was God's purpose and plan. And the prophets were starting to write about it, and the heavens declared it already. They were wise, these wise men, in things that were written in the stars. God's purpose and plan was there from the beginning. And they were looking for that one oath, that one sign that was to come, that was to appear in the constellation. And it was the sign that he would be born the king of Israel. Nothing had been written, but the stars had it there. And the wise men, they were looking for that one star. Sometimes we find stars even today, because it's taken hundreds of thousands of light years for the light to arrive, and all of a sudden our astronomers will find a new star they had never seen before. The wise men knew, and they were looking for that particular star. So, with that information, let's pick up the story then with regard to the wise men. We go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. It's a little bit easier to find than Esther. Everybody on the same page? Reminds me one time I was sitting in a Cleveland Brown team meeting. Paul Brown was just adamant that every player was on the same page, the playbook. And so we need to be all on the same page. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Well, the first thing there is to notice, it does not say kings, generals, priests, Gentiles, Persians. It just says wise. Does not say there could be two or more, but more than one. We assume these because of the three gifts. And it's interesting then, the question they ask, where is he? That is the first question in the New Testament. Where is he? Where is this king that's born as a result of this star in the heavens? It's interesting. What's the first question in the Old Testament? Anybody know? Where are you, Adam? So why Jerusalem? If these wise men were so dang smart, what are they doing in Jerusalem? The babe, the manger, was in Bethlehem. Well, the reason is they saw the star. They knew that the king had been born. And where would they go? Well, they'd go to the capital, the head, Washington, D.C., if it was the United States. They went to Jerusalem. That's just natural. They just saw the star. Well, we got to go. We got to where we're going, where we're going to go to Jerusalem. That's where the king would probably be born. And it says they saw. That's important. They did not, it does not say that they followed the star. It says they saw the star. Now, Herod, when he heard these things, he was troubled. King Herod, when the gatekeeper said, "There's some guys here trying to find where he is," he began to get upset because he was, at that time, the king, had all the power and social power and things. Here are these guys asking for the king that had been spoken of for centuries, now by the prophets, and of course that which is written in the heaven. This worried the heck out of him. I don't know whether to tell this story or not, but I'm going to tell it anyway. And interesting, when I was at Baylor first year, I was there, and it was Christmas time, and they had this beautiful nativity set up on the in front of the administration building, and it had the manger and the donkey, and they had the camels, and they had the wise men there, and it was a magnificent nativity scene. And during the night, or prior to, somebody planned, and they painted this big sign, and it had a picture of King Herod pointing like this. And the caption down below in letters this big read, "I don't care who you are or where you're from, get those damn camels off my lawn." I had an early morning class, and that sign was up there only for about an hour, and it came down. Anyway, Herod was worried about this. So let's pick up again with the story in Matthew, beginning with chapter 4. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born." He didn't know. "And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this it is written by the prophets." Verse 6, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And I'm not going to have you look it up, but that's in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. When the prophet, one of the prophets, begin to write, and that is a quote, verse 6, "And thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people." So Micah now is prophesying what is already written in the heavens. There's many more prophecies. We won't look them up. There's, of course, a lot with regard to Christ. There's 14 just with regard to his crucifixion alone. But the wise men did not have the written word. They only had what they knew, that star had appeared and that the Savior of Israel, Christ, had been born. Then verses 7 to 9. "Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And they had heard the king. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them." Before, they just saw this star. Now the star went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child, no longer a baby, young child. Notice the child that the star went before them, and that we're now speaking of a child and not a baby. Therefore, this star that they followed was not an astronomical phenomena. What they followed at that point was the Shekinah glory. It was the same thing that Moses saw at the burning bush. It's the same thing that Paul saw on the Damascus Road. In the tabernacle, by day, the Shekinah glory was there. And by fire, at night, the Shekinah glory was there. It was on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. And it could be seen 2,000 cubits from behind when the Ark of the Covenant, when they moved it, the shine on top, Israel followed that. That's how they got through the wilderness. We can read something about that. Turn back to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. Beginning with verse 34. This is in the temple. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So this is a kind of glory that's showing over the temple and in the temple. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. It was too bright. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. So that when that Shekinah glory, when that left, they followed it. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was upon it by night, and in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journey. That's the Shekinah glory. That's what Moses saw at the burning bush. You know. Another reference to that is found in Joshua chapter 3. Go over to Joshua, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. This here is an important scripture. Everybody got it? Joshua chapter 3, verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then shall ye remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people with the ark of the covenant. You know how far 2,000 cubits is? It's about a mile and a half. The Shekinah glory on top of the ark could be seen that far away. So later, it's strange that the star that the wise men followed was not the sign in the heavens of the star. It was the Shekinah glory that they followed before them. And where did that Shekinah glory take them? Didn't take them to Bethlehem. Where did they go? They went to Nazareth. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. Beginning with verse 22. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but that's okay. Luke chapter 2, verse 22. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him, that's Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. When her purification was over. When was that? Look back at Leviticus chapter 12. Leviticus chapter 12. Verse 3 and 4 of chapter 12. This is to the female of Israel. And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary into the days of her purification be fulfilled. That's 41 days after his birth that he was taken from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Of Nazareth. The wise men were led there by this light. They didn't follow a star. It was a Shekinah glory. They had their own GPS system at that point. Took them to Jerusalem. Now, let's pick up the story again in Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Verse 2:10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding greatness. And that is the Shekinah glory that they saw. Scriptures don't translate true all the time. They sometimes translate according to tradition. That's why you have to study it. That's why once in a while we have a Greek lesson. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Notice here it says house. Doesn't say manger. It says child, which is the Greek word pais, P-A-I-S. It's Greek, pais, child. Whereas if it would have been a baby, it would have been the Greek word briefos, B-R-E-P-H-O-S, would have been baby. And they brought, of course, gold, which signifies royalty. Frankincense is a sweet-smelling savor. Myrrh is a medicine of the day that they used. Chapter 2, verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And he arose, took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. That was quoted 687 years prior to its actual happening by Hosea in chapter 11, verse 1. Isn't that amazing? Okay, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. The wise men arrived 1 to 2 years after the birth of Christ. And as we saw there, they came to a house, not to a manger. It speaks of a child and not a babe. The wise men, by the way, were from Persian Empire, which is 1,500 miles away from Jerusalem. Even if the star would have appeared at the moment of birth, it would have taken them a long time to get there. Especially with all the holy days, they couldn't even travel on Saturdays. That day they couldn't go anywhere. It's been calculated by camel to take up to 1 to 2 years to arrive at Jerusalem on a camel. So Herod killed children in Bethlehem. He had been foiled by the Shekinah glory, which took the wise men to Nazareth rather than to Bethlehem, where the prophet had prophesied that the child would be at that point. So Herod killed all the children in Bethlehem. But by that time, the angel had said to Jesus, or said to Joseph, "Run, Jesus. Flee, Jesus." And he went, and he took off to Jerusalem. The wise men traveled under poor conditions to worship the Son of God, under heat, cold, soreness, some 1,500 miles, months on the road before they returned home. Why? They knew this was the ultimate gift to man. It was and is the Star of David, God himself in the form of man, coming because he loved us, you and me, coming for the redemption of man, coming to seek and save that which was lost in sin back in the garden by Adam. So this past Christmas season, we're giving adoration, and still today, for what he has done. Do you believe he is who he says he is? Is Christ Jesus the Son of God? Or is he the biggest fool that ever walked the face of the earth? If you have not decided, you should. It's the single most important question you will ever answer in your whole life. Where are you? Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the written word, whereby we can know the truth, and we find that you love us. We find that you are mindful of us. We know that you understand our sorrows, our suffering, and provided a way whereby one day we can be in the heavenlies with you. Pray that you be with us, guide us, direct us, give us a peace that passes understanding. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.